loose the word this morning. The Lord is good, isn't he? Wow. You know, it's always exciting when the Lord births what he wants to speak to us. And when we go back and we chronicle the words of the Lord, we see the systematic way that God leads us into the place of great fruitfulness in our life. One of the things that was really burning in my heart last night was the importance of continuance. I recently heard, reminded of a word from my friend, Brother Frangipane, in the first book that he wrote, The Three Battlegrounds, that zeal can only sustain you for a season. Usually, most people live on zeal for the first 5 or 10 years of their Christian experience. But then wisdom must take over from that point, because zeal will never be able to sustain you through the test of time. But the word of the Lord abideth forever, and the word will sustain us. So it's never about the emotional response that we give or the temporal fervor of our heart that we express, but it's about that which we stand on that's a revelation of truth to our spirit. Because we can become no greater than that which has been revealed to us. We don't walk in darkness, but we walk in light. And so when God reveals, he reveals to us like in a piecemeal fashion. He keeps revealing to us just enough to take us to the next level of experience, but most importantly, the next level of transformation, the next level of becoming who we're to be. Because the process of becoming is a lifetime of experience and a lifetime that unfolds before you. It doesn't happen just temporarily, but it's everything God does for you has a sense of permanence, because he's building you with this super solid foundation of revelation that cannot be destroyed in your life. You know, when Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, when Peter said to him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against this. What he's speaking about was that the gates of hell cannot stand against the revelation of the Lord. So if you want to be ensured of victory and success, what's the key for you? Coming into this understanding of who he is, this revealing of his nature to you. See, God's in the continual process of revealing himself to you in a greater measure. It's called going from glory to glory and from image to image. We're becoming more and more like him the more we're exposed to him. Everybody say, we're becoming like him as we're exposed to him. You can't really become something that you're not exposed to. Every one of us is a product in our natural man of the things that we have been exposed to in our life, whether good or bad. In the spiritual realm, it's even more pronounced, because the more that we come and become before the Lord with this great hunger in our heart, the greater we seek him, then the more we become like him. The more we experience the Lord, the more we begin to become the very essence of who God is. The Bible says that even we become the fragrance of God. In other words, when they smell you, they'll smell him on you. We become this radiant being that expresses his very nature to the earth around us. It's amazing how God is transforming us into this brand new creation that the world really doesn't know how to accept. You know, one of the downfalls in much of Christianity is we've tried to conform ourselves to them, but in reality, we're not to be conformed to the image of this world, but the world is to be conformed to the image of him. Hallelujah. I don't want to become more like that, the world. Now, I'm not opposed to the world, or I'm not critical of the world, because I have to love the world because Christ loved the world. But I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be like who he is. And it's a whole different level, isn't it? One of the things that I've learned most pronounced in my life is that my heart, and we talk a lot about the heart is the receptacle and the giver of everything that God wants you to receive and everything he wants you to give. Just imagine your heart just a moment, like a big round thing. And if it's hard, if that round thing is hard, nothing can penetrate it. And for sure, nothing can be released from it. It's only when that round thing has penetrated and, say, broken up, that it's able to receive the things that want to come into it. But it's also important to realize that not only does the heart receive, the heart must become that which gives. For the heart is the issue of all life. It means life that comes and life that goes. So if I'm going to be someone that makes an impact or a difference in this world, then it must needs be that I allow my heart to be penetrated by him. You know, the scripture, the book of Hosea talks about the fallow ground. There's a plowing that takes place. And there's this time in a season in our life when we go through these, what we call trials or challenges that give us the opportunity to present ourselves as this ground that's been plowed. The purpose of disturbing the ground is so that the ground can receive the seed and the water to ultimately bring forth its fruit in due season. Hallelujah. Did you know that you're a fruitcake? No, I'm just kidding. You were born to bear fruit. It's out of you that God wants to bring. What a heavy thing that is. Out of us, God wants to bring something to the earth. It's out of us that God wants to reveal his nature. And that brings me to the script, what I want to talk about this morning. And I want to talk about a little bit more about love. Everybody say, we like talking about love. It's a lot better than being talking about something else, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord spoke to me the other day, four things. And it was kind of weird because I was actually at the gym in the hot tub. I don't know what it is about me and water. I get a lot of revelation when I get around water. But I'm in the hot tub, hot tubbing, and all of a sudden the Lord said, motivation, motivated, led, controlled, and bound. I said, say that again. He said, motivation, led, controlled, and bound. And that ought to be simple to remember, but when you get my age, you know nothing is simple anymore. So I kept repeating it over and over again till I could get to my phone in the car and text it to myself so I would remember it to tell you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, last week we talked about how that we come and we set our wills to do the will of God. And that's important because without the will being set, then during certain times, we will turn back from the thing that we purpose to do. The will is the most powerful thing that you have that will enable you to achieve the thing that God has set before you. That's why Jesus said, I've come to do the will of the one who sent me. Not my will be done, but Lord, your will be done in my life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we set our wills to do the will of God. And in doing that, we're determined to know and we're determined to love. We're determined to move into every experience that God has set before us, every avenue, every door that he's opened for us, we're determined to move into that And so it can become an expression through our life. Everybody say, we are determined. And I tell you, I went back and listened to the message and I got more determined than ever. There's something that got in my spirit. And when I cried out, we believe, we believe, we believe. You see, faith is positioning yourself in a place of believing no matter what happens that's contrary to it. Amen? Everybody say, I believe God. So when we have faith, we're saying that I know that there's something greater. There's something more to bear on this situation than the things that I see and the things that I hear. What God has spoken trumps everything that I hear contrary to that. I believe God. I am determined to love. One of the things that we understand about the Lord is that to really know Him, we have to go and find out what makes Him tick. What's God's motivation in all of this? I often wonder, Lord, why do you mess with humanity when you don't need to? You could just do your God thing and probably be happier. But that's not who He is. He's motivated with a purity to let you become, to help you come, and to give you what you need to become like He is. He's motivated because it's the foundation of His expression. God is only revealed by how He expresses Himself to us. We'll never know Him the way we should know Him unless we've learned to let Him express Himself to us. It's only when someone you let love you will you ever really know who they are. Most people live their lives controlled by or motivated by fear. We build walls of protection around us because we're afraid of letting people pass this invisible barrier, because we're afraid that if they really penetrate to who we really are, they won't accept us. They may be critical of us. They may judge us. They may look upon us differently than what we think they should, because we're fearful of exposure. But the Lord wants to break down every wall between you and Him. He doesn't want to leave one thing unturned between you and Him. He wants to come into you in such intimacy that everything in your life is exposed to the Lord. Now, the reason why we can let that happen to us without fear of condemnation or judgment is because God's motive towards us is so pure. You see, when you realize that someone is purely motivated towards you, then you're not afraid to expose yourself to them. Your fear comes because you feel that they won't understand who you really are. So, Lord, when we look at You, we see one that loves us purely. Romans chapter 5, we might turn to that scripture. Very familiar. Wow. Now, I promise you something this morning. You want to know what the promise is? I won't speak an hour and 5 minutes like I did last Sunday. Okay. You can relax. All right. Okay. You say, well, I don't know. I wasn't here. I don't know how long you spoke. Okay. You know, it's bad when you have to put it on two different files and you go to the list, part one and part two. Right. Romans chapter 5, for verse 6, for when we were without, still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Christ was so pure. The Father, the Son were so pure in their motivation that no matter how much time passes and the occurrence of events in your life, there's only one thing that you can always be consistently assured of, is that God loves you. It's no wonder that the definition of God himself is that God is love. When you look at God, all you see is love. And I've told you that in my life, during my times of great trial and failure, the Lord has only spoken to me three times in what I would call an audible voice. Even though it maybe wasn't audible, it sure felt that way because it was very impressive. He said the first time, Bill, and he didn't call me by my legal name. He called me Bill. I love you. Second time God spoke, he said, Bill, I still love you. This is many years apart. And then God said, Bill, you're my friend. Wow. So it's all these years, there's one constant in my life that I can never deny, is the fact that he has never left me, nor will he ever forsake me. But the purity of his motive with every action, every decision that he made was made on my behalf. You see, he had one goal in mind. The goal that God had in mind through giving his son Jesus as a demonstration of this great love was to enable us now to be one with him. Because see, it's only through love expression that unity can be created. When you truly love, then unity becomes the primary focus of your life. You will do everything to protect that unity. You will defend it to the utmost. You will stand against those that stand against it. You will fight for it because you know that the price that was paid to achieve it was the greatest price that was ever made, the sacrifice of the Son of God. Amen? So never take flippantly an attitude, oh, I can be one, or I can, if I don't want to be one, or if they've offended me, I don't want to have anything to do with them, or if they've done this and this, forget about it. Christ's motive was to truly love you no matter what you've gone through. And don't throw the buts in there. We all love conditionally, easily, don't we? How many love conditionally, easily? But to love unconditionally, wow, that means I have to love like God loves. Don't ask me of that. That's too much. No, it's what God wants you to do. He said, there's one commandment you must fulfill. This is it. You're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy strength, and you're to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? It's amazing what happens and changes in our life when you really fall in love with the Lord. Did you know that usually the problem is not the problem in our lives? The greatest thing that I've seen in my life, the biggest issue I have, is that when I'm going through something, is I just need to learn to love, and I just need to believe to love him more than I'm loving him. See, you don't create a ministry because you seek a ministry. You become a minister because you're in love with someone that's called you. Oh, I'm going to go down the East Street and I'm going to heal the sick and raise the dead. Praise God. No, you don't ever even think that when you walk in ministry. When you walk in ministry, you walk, go down the street. I love the Lord with all my heart, all my mind, and all my strength. And then out of that emanates the love that you have for God's people or the people that aren't God's people yet. Amen. You don't ever seek to do a ministry. You seek to love him. And then ministry flows forth from that. That's what creates ministry in you. Not only does it create a ministry in you, it creates a longevity in you that will not fail. Hallelujah. Wow. See, I'm getting to the point in life now that I just want to finish the race. Paul said, I'm laboring to finish this race. This is a long race. Sometimes you say, God, give me a long life. Then you begin to think, maybe it shouldn't be so long. It's just hard because it requires of my heart to keep loving you, submitting to you, yielding to you with everything within me. I can't take a vacation from this. I can't take a sabbatical from loving God. It just doesn't work that way. Must means that I love him with all of my heart, all of my strength, and all my might. Everything within me must love him because he first loved me and gave his life for me. Hallelujah. Woo, his motivation was to create in me his nature that I might become a partaker of the divine nature of God. Wow. See, God is alive. Do you believe that? Yes. And he lives for a greater purpose than just his existence. That's right. You know, when we're the most miserable in life is when we're living for the purpose of our existence. But when we're the most fulfilled is when we live our lives for others. Because that's the way he lives. He lives his life for you and I. He doesn't just live for himself. He was motivated to love us even to the point of committing the greatest sacrifice that could ever be given. It said that Christ humbled himself. He became obedient. Even to the point of death, death on the cross. You want to know what's moved me for 48 years? Is that I met a man named Jesus who gave his life for me. You know why I'm moved with passion? Because I met a man of passion that gave his life for me. How could you not be moved with passion if you've met that man, Jesus, who with every ounce of his being sweated drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, oh my God, if it be possible, let this pain pass from me. But nevertheless, Lord, thy will be done. How could we not be moved when we see that man hanging on a cross, nailed, beaten, with a cat of nine tails, a crown of thorns forced upon his head, pierced in the side with a sword. How can we not be moved when we see the sacrifice that he gave for us? How could I do anything else but what I do, knowing that? How could you be anything than who you are knowing that? Right. So we walk down the street and we think about our petty things, or we see our brothers and sisters and we pettily judge them, or we pettily evaluate them, or we do this and we do that, when all of it, all we'd be able to be is just having a love fest with Jesus. That's right. And we ought to be so in love that we've got stars in our eyes. so that we can't even see the realities around us that other people see. All we can see is him. The author and the finisher of my faith. This Christ. This Jesus. This Jesus that loved me so much that he gave his life for me. This Father who was so moved that he shed this great love upon me with bounty in the Holy Spirit. Wow. This is my motivation. My motivation is really not to have a happy life, even though who doesn't want that? My motivation really isn't having a significant ministry. It can't be a motivation to have recognition and fame. It can only be a life that's lived to love him and to love you. If you ever come to the point that you'll have to remember me, hoping that's many years away, I hope your memory would be, he loved me. I hope it's not because of something else I did or didn't do. I hope it's be, hey, he loved me. That's my memory of him. He loves me. He will never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me. You don't know how hard sometimes it is. You do. I know you know it's hard. It's hard for us to be that committed to one another, isn't it? It's hard for you and for me to love each other so much that we're willing to say to one another, hey, I won't ever leave you or ever forsake you. It's hard for you and I to love each other so much that we say, I forgive you.
Right.
We all thought we could forgive, didn't we, until we find the sin is too great to overlook. Yeah. But he already overlooked it. Why haven't we? Thank God he overlooked my sin. He saw my need and he gave his life. I've done enough sins in my life that I don't know how any God could ever forgive me. I've had enough thoughts, enough actions, enough misdeeds and deeds of things that I shouldn't have done or I should have done, that how could any God ever love me that much to give his life for me? But yet he did. Lord, help me to be that one that's so motivated by your love that I can be led by your love. Yeah. Point two. So when motivation becomes pure in our life, you know, our actions become consistent. You know what leads to inadequate actions or inconsistent actions is inconsistent motivations. When you're motivated, you'll become consistent in expression of his love. When you're motivated, you become led to have a predetermined course and a predetermined outcome. See, this isn't a que sera day where we say, que sera, whatever shall be, shall be. We know what shall be.
Right. Right.
For those that are led by the Spirit of the Lord, these are the sons of God. We know that when we're led by God and we're motivated by God, that there'll be an outcome of God through us, that we become the very oracle of the living God, that out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water, out of our countenance shall be a radiance of glory.
That's right.
That will liberate the captives. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God has anointed me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the captives, to set at liberty those that are bound, to open the prison doors, to bring joy instead of mourning. Hallelujah. This is the anointing that comes upon us as we're led by His Spirit. Wow. Woo. It's not a day where we say, oh, He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Oh, He loves me. He loves me not. We're not, what is that? You pull back the flower, right? Pull out a petal. He loves me. He loves me not. No, it's not whether He loves you not. He loves you. Yes. Amen. Quit thinking He doesn't love you not. Quit thinking that I love you not. I love you. Amen. Amen. I love you. Do you love one another? Yes. For this cause, love one another, brethren. Yes. Thus fulfill the law of Christ. Have the same care for one another that Christ cares for you. Wow. Yes. So when we're led, it means that we're led to a place of surrender, to a course that may be different than what I would choose. I keep wanting to choose door number A or door number B or some other door. I'm thinking, just please, God, give me a choice to choose a door that's different than the door that I'm in. Because it always seems that the grass is greener on the other side. Right? Yeah. Amen. Lord, let me have a choice in my destiny. The Lord said, if you're led by my Spirit, there'll be no choices for you. The choice has already been made for you. Amen? Wow. See, Christ was so single-minded. There's something about this thing that love creates. It creates a single-mindedness in us. It creates a pursuit in us that cannot be stopped. When I fell in love with Sue, almost 51 years ago this October, I became so consumed with pursuit that I could not be stopped. I mean, I would have been an Evel Knievel, and some of you are too young to remember Evel Knievel. I would have got on a motorcycle and jumped the Grand Canyon in order to grab her. I was so in love that policeman pulled me over in my car at 1 a.m. and said, son, are you drunk? And I said, no, I'm in love. I was weaving down the road. And I'm thinking, I love her, I love her, I love her. I'd only known her a month. I couldn't figure out why my parents were so upset. I said, we're getting married. Who are you marrying? I'm marrying Sue. How long have you known her? I've known her a month. You're crazy. I said, no, I'm not crazy. I'm in love. See, there's something about this pursuit that doesn't make sense, but it makes all the sense in the world to those that love. Yes. Amen? I was telling Cheryl, I said, well, what do you do with someone that's 71 years old that Frangipane says your zeal fails after about 10 years, and after that you're just like, you know, what do you do when you've been doing it almost 50 years and you still got the same zeal that you had in the beginning? In fact, your zeal is even greater than you had in the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And now you got a little wisdom. Now you've got trouble in the among you. When I first became a preacher, Sue would go with me, and the few places I would get invited, I had no clue what to say. I'd never even looked at the Bible in my life, hardly. I was a Methodist. It wasn't the Methodist's fault, it was me. My grandmother was a Methodist, and she was a very adamant student of the Bible, so don't criticize them too much. But I would just, it put me behind the pulpit, and it was like a doll that you wound up, you know. You'd wind it up, and then it'd turn me loose, and I'd march back and forth, screaming as loud as I could. For about 5 minutes. That's all I had in me. It was about 5 minutes. Some of you say, man, let's go back to the old days. I had about 5 minutes in me. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'd just scream, you know, and then I'd say, anyone going to get saved? Bow your head and close your eyes. People would always get saved, you know. Hallelujah. I need to try that again. But there's something about this single-mindedness, this pursuit, this passion that takes over, this unwavering thing that's in you. When you think about the man that made the ultimate sacrifice on your behalf, hallelujah, can we stop this? We don't want to stop it, do we? That's why John said in the book of Revelation, you have fallen from your first love. I have this against you. He said, now go back and rekindle that love in your heart. What motivated you? Remember those days when you first met him? Let that be the day that we say, this is that day. We're meeting him again today. Amen? It becomes even stronger than it was. And it, in that single-minded pursuit of being led by God, it says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you might want to turn there, that the Lord constrains us in this love. Or another translation said, the Lord controls us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to glory on our behalf, that you may have something to answer those who glory in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is of God. It's for God. How many have ever been beside yourself for God? Or if we have sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, constrains us. Because we judge thus, and if one died for all, then all died. And if he died then for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Wow. See, in some reason, we just thought it was all about us. But we're not living this for ourselves, are we? We're living it for the kingdom. We're living it for the King of Glory. We're living it for this Jesus. This is who we live for. This is what we believe for. This is why we exist. This is why we get up in the morning. This is why we go next week and the year after and the year after serving the Lord, is because there's one that died for us and we live for him. Amen? He controls us. And the beautiful part about this, it goes on to say that out of this, we become a brand new creation in Christ. Everything becomes new, verse 17. Then God given us now the same ministry that Christ had, the same ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, verse 19, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So the world is waiting for there to be a people that can become these priests that can take away the sins off people's lives. Whoever sins you retain shall be retained, and whoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Did you know you have the power through Christ to become not the Savior, because there's only one Savior, but you have the power through Christ to become part of that plan of salvation that can literally declare to humanity their freedom from their sin. Yes. Amen? Wow. The fourth thing was that I'm bound to this love no matter what. No matter what offense, no matter what the cost, I will not be moved away from the love that God has given me. We see that in the book of Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 37. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate me, for this love will stand the test of time against every onslaught, against every negative thought, against everything that comes, against every enemy, against every plot, against every conniving spirit of man. The love of God will prevail. Amen? We are destined to become, through this radiant expression of God's presence in us, we are destined to become his nature to the world. Amen. It's good, isn't it? Wow. I didn't even read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You should go read that. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just lift your hands up with the Lord with me this morning. Amen. Let's just pray the anointing of the Lord to come. And every one of us just turn our hearts to God. I want you to just to pray that this week be a great week of revelation to each one of us, that each one of us will become so acutely aware of God's presence that we'll be overwhelmed by this great sense and this great awe of God's love for our life. And I want to pray that every one of us also will not only sense this for us, but then we'll also have this sense of how it's meant for others around us. That everywhere we go, everyone we encounter, whether it be in our family or in our associates in business or our occupation or in our leisure time, everywhere we go, there'll be a sense that we are the expression of God's love to those around us. That when people get around us, they will feel and sense love. They will feel and sense forgiveness. They will sense acceptance. They will sense the fact that you really are standing with them and that you will not be persuaded any other way. Lord, put that in our spirits. Put it in our hearts, oh God, that we have such compassion that as Christ was moved with compassion, as he was moved to heal the sick, as he was moved to minister to the needs of humanity, that, Lord, we have that same compassion in us, that everywhere we see someone's distraught, someone's infirm, someone that's in bondage, that, Lord, let the Spirit of Christ be in us, that we may become a liberator, just he is a liberator through us, in Jesus' name. Everybody say it. Amen. Amen.